Okay, so let's recap a little bit from last week. So in Perek Mem Ches, which was 2 weeks ago, the Baal Tani described the process, the Kabbalistic concept of Tzimtzum. No good way to talk about it in any with any level of intelligence, but well, let's say the words. The Ribbono Shel Olam, in order to be able to create a physical world, concealed his presence. Whether that's literal or figurative, there's a whole issue unto itself, but the bottom line is that the Ribbono Shel Olam was willing, or was driven, kaviyochol, created a ratzon to conceal his infinite energy, so that there would be a world, a physical world could come into existence, wherein people would have the ability to choose, do I follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do I not follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu, do I find the Ribbono Shel Olam, do I not find the Ribbono Shel Olam. And all free choice stems from concealment. Were there not Hastara, were there not Tzimtzum, there would never be free choice. If everything we looked at, we saw the letters of creation that are giving it its existence at this moment, nobody would ever make an error or choose to do something against HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. Now, and he goes through an extensive explanation as to what that process of Hastara is. What's the process of Tzimtzum? Grab a chair and come to this room right over here. Now, having said that, and we almost lost half of our Olam because of Perek Mem Ches, it just seems so esoteric and so far removed. Like, what does he want? So now, in Perek Mem Tes, the Baal Tanya brings it down to where it becomes extremely relevant to us in our Veda. And he says that the only reason that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this was because of his incredible love for Klal Yisrael. And despite the fact that there are legions upon legions, millions perhaps of malachim who serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu and cry Kodesh, 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 and so on, nonetheless, what the Ribbono Shel Olam desires, or the place where the Ribbono Shel Olam is found most, is not among the angels, but in the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim performed by Klal Yisrael. And what we started last week was an explanation of, in light of this conversation, what the meaning is of Birchas Krishma. Here's another copy. So, he began with the first bracha. The first bracha, which describes at great length the different types of angels and their unique service in crying out Kodesh, 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 and their fiery service and so on, the explicit open nature. And nonetheless, they say, I am a Kohen Kavod. Where is Hashem? So despite all of the incredible levels that angels are able to attain, they're still asking the question. The answer is, Molei Kol Ha'aretz Kavod. You know where Kavod Hashem is? Kavod Hashem is in the mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim of Klal Yisrael. There we go. Sorry, the call-in number is not working. Okay, so now we're on page 138, right in the middle of Perek Mem Tes, and we're going to now talk about the second bracha of Krishna, which is even where he gets... It brings it to an incredible personal relevance. Now, you have to remember that the pinnacle of Aveda in much of the Baal Tanya's teachings is V'ahavta. Coming to the extreme level of V'ahavta, of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he stressed it in saying, let's go back a few lines so we can recap that. Let's go down to the last line of Dav Samach Tes on page 137. Ubezeh yuvan tuv tam v'das. With this introduction, we can understand with clarity l'takonas chachamim that which our sages established. Etignu birchus krishma shtayim lefanel, that our sages established these unique brachas to be stated, to be recited before Krishma. It seems, unlike other brachas that are directly related to the mitzvah that's going to be performed, these brachas seem to be completely unrelated to the Shema. In fact, the Rashba writes in his Chuvas that this is unlike any other brachas HaMitzvahs, where you say, and you do your lulav thing. Here, there's no mention of the Shema, not in the first bracha of Shema, not in the second bracha. So why are they called the brachas of the Shema? Why are these called the brachas of Shema? And why are they stated dafke before the Shema? Ela mishum she'ikar krishma l'kayim b'chol avavcha. Experientially, the main purpose of Shema is to fulfill the mitzvah of loving HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'chol avavcha. What does the Mishnah say? What's the definition of b'chol avavcha? B'shnei yitzrecha, that we are to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with both the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. What does that mean? Dahainu lamed neged kol minei amehavas Hashem. What that means is that we are to do everything we can, everything in our power, to remove, to get rid of every obstacle that prevents us from loving our Kadosh Baruch. Therefore, ulavavcha, when Hashem says to love Hashem with all of our heart and soul, heina isha v'yiladeha, that means loving our Kadosh Baruch more than our wives and children. And that's incredibly difficult because a person's heart is naturally bound with them. That literally, they're part of a person themselves. He says, I don't even have to tell you. Meaning loving Hashem more than your own soul. Or loving Hashem more than your own possessions. Your own life, your own possessions. That we're supposed to somehow reach a level that we're able to negate everything because of the love of Hashem. So he says, come on guys, let's be practical. How is it possible, how is it conceivable that a physical human being can come to that kind of love of a God that we can't see, we can't touch, we can't speak to? Well, come on, get real. For this reason, the first established the first bracha of Yetzirah. What's taught? What is spoken about there? V'sham nema, there it said, v'nishden, repeated by Richus at great length. Inyan v'seder hamalachim, the order of what the angels do. Ha'im dimidim are stand in the celestial worlds. To constantly proclaim the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How all of them are completely, totally nullified to Hashem's energy. And they're constantly crying out in tremendous fear and trembling. And they sanctify and they hallow. What are they saying? What are we trying to point out? What does the word Kaddish mean? So he says that despite all of their lofty status, who moved them? Kaddish Baruch Hu is completely separated from them. That's what the word Kodesh means. Hare at mikudeshes li means that you are sanctified. You're selected only unto me. You're separated from all other people. Is ve'ena mislabish behem b'chinas gili. Despite the greatness and the attainment of all the angels and their holiest stuff and all the cool things they do, none of them are ba'ofen gilui. It's not revealed. They're all looking for God. That's what they do. They search. You say it in Yom Kippur, all these things. They're always constantly searching for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ella, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu found in a revealed way? Malei kol haaretz kevodei. Where is he to be found? Right here. In the physical confines of earth. And he says an interesting statement. He kinesis Yisrael, that refers to the people of Klal Yisrael, lamaila, whatever our representation is of that above, v'Yisrael lamata kinesis ba'alal, and the actual physical people of Klal Yisrael here below. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found. And he goes further. Now let's go to the next. Let's go up a level. So maybe that's just because those are second tier malachim. Right? Let's go up to the first tier malachim. Right? Maybe they do have. Yes. What are they saying? Baruch kvod Hashem im kaimai. Because they cannot acquire. They don't know where his presence is. We say it right there in that bracha. He is completely morim. He's hecher. He's removed. He's exalted. And separated. So that's what the first bracha is about. The first bracha is a description of the highest celestial beings being removed and separated from Hashem himself. Now, let's contrast that with the second bracha. The achakach bracha shniyah. Now we come to the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei, of Krishma, which is, Ahavas Olam Ahavtonu Hashem Malikenu. Hashem loves us, an ahava of Ahavas Olam. So normally, I assume that the translators translate this as eternal love, right? Ahavas Olam. As eternal love. Says the Baal Tanya, it means Ahava of the world. What does that mean? Kiloima, that is to say, Sheniach kol tzva maila hagdoshim, the Rebbeinu Shalom set aside all of these legions of incredibly holy angels. And despite that, the Rebbeinu Shalom placed his divine presence where? Here among us mortals. Aleinu. Lias Nikra Elikenu. Vivait. How far does it extend, the Rebbeinu Shalom's application of his relationship with us? To such a degree, like we talked about a few weeks ago, that the term for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name Elikim, he allows to be personalized as Elikenu. Right? That name could be Elikecha, could be Elikenu. That name is allowed to be personalized. So, many of the Mefarshim say it on the Pasuk of Anochi Hashem Elikecha. You know how far HaKadosh Baruch Hu can relate to us? He could become a lekecha. He could become your personal God. That's how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu placed his Shechina here among us. Kimai, where else do we find this? We find it by the Kei Avraham and the Kei Yitzchak, by the Kei Yaakov, like he told us earlier. That's why we speak about Hashem's personal relationship with the Avos, because that is a possibility for us. That's what we say, Masa Yigi Amaisa, the Maisa Avos. When will we attain that level of our avos? V'ahainu, so what's going on here is, ki ahava dechekas habosa, there's a Gemara that says that love is dechek the basa, meaning that it sets aside all logic. U'lechein nikra havas olam, for this reason it's called the ahava of this olam, shibchines tzimtzum oiroi hagodol. This is the concept that we spoke about before, that the Rebbeinu Shalom sets aside his incredible infinite light, his energy, ability tachlis, which has no limits, and he's sets it all aside. Lihislabesh bebchinas gvul, and allows it to be enrobed and clothed in limitation in a finite world. Hanikra oilam, in this globe called the world, for one reason. Bavra havas ama Yisrael. Because of his love of his nation, Klal Yisrael. For what reason? Towards what end? Kedei lekarvam, a love, in order to bring them close. Because every time, you'll see in a minute, it tells you a deeper notch in this. Because every time we make a moral and ethical choice, we become a notch closer to him. As he was willing to conceal himself, to allow moral choice, so that a Jew can become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. K'day l'kav me'lav l'kodol, how close can a Jew become? L'kodol b'yichudei v'achdus yisbruch, to become literally one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is mamish pshat. I mean, I don't know how we say these things, and later you see them, it's like, what was I thinking all those years? V'zeh shiksiv, this is what we say in the bracha. Chemla gidayla v'yaseira chamalta alanu. A tremendous chemla, tremendous mercy. V'yaseira, and even more, you took pity on us. More than what? Or it didn't mention anything else. If you want to have Yisera, it has to be more than fill in the blank. We didn't talk about anybody else. Says the Baal Tanya, no. We certainly did. We just spoke about it in the last bracha. We talked about all the angels and all the holy, the Ephanim and the Chayes HaKadosh and the Malachim and all them. And here we come along and say, with one mitzvah, we come, the Rebbe Shalom gave us the opportunity which is far greater than he gave any of those phenomenal angels. Now he throws in a whole other thing. I was looking for Chassam Sefer, I haven't been able to find it. But Imamish says this Nekuda. We say in Kiddush and in Shemin Esrei on Yantif that the Rebbe Shalom chose. Banu Bachata, he chose us from all other nations. Now, there's a fairly simple yesod, okay? The yesod goes like this. Choice is only possible among matters that have some comparison. So if somebody were to give you a bottle of Merlot, right? And then they offer you a real high-quality, delicious, sweet wine. So there's no choice there. Obviously, you're going to take the good wine, the one that's sweet, that tastes decent. Why would you want to drink vinegar? Right? So there's no sheiches, there's no comparison, right? There's no contest. You want to have a contest, there has to be things that are on equal footing. They have to be on some level sheich to one another. If we're talking about neshamas, you chose us. What kind of choosing is that? Choosing us among the nations of the world. The neshama of a Jew is categorically different. It's made up, we learned in the early program, it's made up of completely different stuff. That's not a choice. So what's the choice? The choice is in the body of a Jew. So remember there's a Chassam Sofer somewhere, I can't find it, who says he doesn't understand how secular medicine works on Jewish bodies. He just doesn't understand it. And that's Mamash, this is what he's saying. When he said that the Rebbe Shalom chose us from among all nations, who are Guf HaChumri? He's talking about our bodies he chose. Because what do we do mitzvahs with? We don't do mitzvahs with our neshamas. We do mitzvahs with our bodies. Hanidme b'chumri yusai, which is similar. There you could choose. Our body looks like his body. We even go to the same doctors. We go to the same, you know, to the same exercise places. Somehow, you know, the only difference is cholt. Right? In every other way, our bodies are the same as their bodies. And nonetheless, we say in Krishna, we can have Tanamak and the Rebbeinu brought us close like this to be Maidu, Pirishai, Doyis, Baba Makamaka. It's interesting. I don't know if he addresses it in Sefer Tani, maybe in the later Prokim. But in the Likutei Torah, he talks about the definition of Haidah. Meaning, Moide Remeir L'Chachamim. There's a Haidah that means to thank, and there's a Haidah that means to acquiesce, to acknowledge. So the Haidah is the Rebbeinu Shem can bring us to a point of Haidah, he says, I'll explain elsewhere. And then we come again, another step. Uliachedcha, what does liachedcha mean? How close can we come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So liachedcha we normally translate as to make him one, right? To call him the one. He says, no. Likolo b'yichuda yizbaruch kinal. Liachedcha means that we're going to be able to become one with Kaviyochol. When a Jew does a mitzvah, he becomes unified with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's liachedcha. Doesn't only mean to call you the one. Liachedcha means to become one with him. So again, it's notch after notch after notch of the distinction between us and the Malachim. that, you know, here we hold angels in such awesome esteem. And it's true, they are. They're holy. They're very holy angels. But they can't put on tefillin. They can't make kiddush. They can't have a temptation and overcome that temptation. That's not shaykh to angels. V'nikash yosim, fourth line on daf ayin. V'nikash yosim ha-maskel eila ha-dvorim elom k'deliba. Which is the big problem for our generation, because this is very painful, because it requires a process called thinking. Is kashi yosim ha-maskel, when a thinking person pays attention to these words, elom k'deliba, and really takes them to heart, umaycha, and to mind, as I'm a mele k'mayim aponim l'ponim. The result of that will be that there will be the reflection of one face to another. Tislahet nafshay, he will become engulfed and completely inflamed in Ahavas Hashem. V'tislabesh beruach nediva lihisnadev, and the person will be able to give himself over completely. Lohaniach v'lazev kol ha'shalei minneged, he'll be able to neglect and leave behind everything of his. Rak l'davka b'yisbroch, just to be able to cleave, to connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'likol ba'oiroi, to become one with the Ur Hashem, b'dveika chasheika v'chulu, b'bchines nishikin. Okay, here we go. On the level of nishikin, that was the kiss that we spoke about earlier, when a Jew learns Torah, that verbally, that is a kiss with kaviyocha, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's when a Jew thinks Torah concepts. And these are the two most incredible forms of intimacy that can take place between any creature and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Havanas HaTorah and Dibur of Torah. Speaking words of Torah, which is considered to be a kiss with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and thinking words of Torah, which is the most intimate connection of soul to soul. Now, we spoke about that in an earlier perek. I don't remember where it was. But Zal, you know it by heart. Where was that?
I forgot.
Nah, I don't believe that. But now he takes this and shows us, and this is, the Sefer looks like it's disorganized until you now see how it all falls into place. He was just talking about what comes right after that? The commandment is to love with everything you've got, to give it all up for Dveikus Bashem. I'm going to tell you that I spoke to a friend of mine, used to go on vacation with my great uncle, with the Bavaru. So he was an incredibly disciplined person. I was so attracted to him because opposites attract. He had just phenomenal, phenomenal discipline. He was on time. You could set your clock by him. He was in the Medrash every day at 8 o'clock for Shacharis. And, you know, things went with Mitazage. It was, you know, slow, but paced. When he would go away, Birchas Krishma took an hour and a half. Just these two brachas of Shema were an hour and a half. On a regular basis. He was able to let go because the tzibur wasn't waiting for him. And he just, you know, so when I'm learning this, you know, what are you thinking about there? Like, you know, what is it to do? You learn this. See, there's a lot to do. And you just got to spend the time doing it. So now he takes us to the next step. What comes after V'yahavta? V'hayu hadvarim ha'ela asher nechi mitzav chayim ala v'vecho. These words that I'm speaking, you should be on your heart. You should speak them. Right? What's the connection? Love to the commandment to study Torah. Okay? That's what he's going to talk about now. Ah, however, we need to understand. How does one connect his spirit, kaviyocha, with the Ribbono Shel Olam? For that, the pasuk continues. These words should be Alev Avecha V'dibar Tavom. Ukemeshik Siv Beitz Chaim, like the Arizal writes, Sheyichud Anashikin Ikore Hu Yichud Chabad B'Chabad. that the main form of the neshikin of the kiss with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the main place of that is on the intellectual level. It's enveloping our intellect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intellect, Kaviyachol, as is given to us in the form of his Torah. Vahu iyun ha-Torah, that is the understanding the concepts of Torah. Right? This goes back to, we've talked about this many times, where a guy walks into yeshiva and they're learning these esoteric sugyas of, if my donkey falls on your cow and your cow runs off and you know, hits a giraffe, and then, you know, they bump into an elephant or whatever, these crazy cases. And somebody says, go get a life. What are you wasting your time for? You know that these scenarios are never going to happen. It's completely irrelevant. Because what Limud HaTorah is as the Arizal is describing here, it is the most intimate relationship of combining human intellect with godly intellect. It's not about the practice. Of course we have to know halacha, but that's not what Limud HaTorah is about. It's not limited to halacha. It's about bringing into our feeble minds Chachmas Hashem, the wisdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Arizal is addressing here. It's the yichud of Chabad b'Chabad. It's taking Hashem's intellect and putting it into our minds. There's no greater intimacy that can take place than that unity. Then there's another level, and that is v'hapeh. That is to speak the words of Torah with one's mouth. Humaytzi haruach b'giluyav. That's to reveal what's going on in our minds. B'bchinas gilu in a revealed way. That's the next step of speaking the words of Torah. Now we need to understand, why is that necessary? Why isn't it adequate just to think? Why is it necessary to speak the words of Torah? So, this is, you know, hang on to your shoes. He says, Ki al meitzi pi Hashem yichya adam. The pasuk tells us that man lives by God's word. So that should be enough for a person to just think about it. A person cannot fulfill his requirement just with thinking and examining until he utters the words with his lips. Why? Why? Because the goal of creation is to draw the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the physical world, into one's animal soul, not just into the godly soul. Well, if we want to involve our animal soul in the physical world, we got to get involved with physicality. And that is the power of speech. The power of speech, Akima Svasa Bava Maisa, is an action. Speaking is not just thinking. Speaking is considered an action which requires one's blood, which requires eating, which requires the energy we get from our food. So we end up elevating all of the world with us as we speak words of Torah. Kidei lahalis kulon Hashem, to elevate all of the world around us. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, im kol ha'olam kulo, and to include them with that unity and the energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which are now coming in a revealed way, unlike any of the access that the angels have. Here it's revealed in our thoughts of Torah. By taking it from thought and bringing it to speech, we are now including with that unity with Hashem, we're now including the entire Bria. The pasuk says, the kved Hashem, the honor, the glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is revealed, and all flesh, referring to my flesh, and therefore everything, my entire circle of influence becomes elevated with it. That's what he said in the last parak. This was the purpose of why HaKadosh Baruch Hu went through this whole process of concealment, so that we can go and restore that glory of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the darkness of this world, halizu, this world dafka, bibchinis gilui, in a revealed way. How do we do it? Lehavcha chashaycha l'nehira, by transforming the darkness of this world into light, by touching it with the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, umirira l'miska, and the bitter into sweet, kinispa l'elbarichas, as we talked about earlier, it's all about the transformation of darkness into light. To summarize, v'zeu tachlis kavanas ha'odam, this is the entire purpose of a person, ba'avidosei, in his service of Hashem, is for one purpose, la'amshich erin soiv baruch hu l'mata, to draw the Ur of the Infinite here into this dark, crass, physical world, to dispel the darkness and bring in the light. Meaning that in order for us to be able to bring the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the outside in, it has to begin with our desire. It's required that we show the interest to want to draw HaKadosh Baruch Hu into this world, and by doing so, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu Taka allows his presence to come into the world. The first step has to be taken by man. It's called Insirusa de Lasata, or another term for this is Halos Ma'anukvin, but that's where the process starts. And the result of it is that we can illuminate the darkness of this world, with the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that's the meaning. The purpose of Birchas Krishna is to show how unique and gifted we are in the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Torah and Mitzvahs. We contrast that with the holiest of angels and say, look, they're very holy, they're very exalted, but they're not as holy as we are. They can't access. They don't have the ability to transform. So we draw that contrast. Once we draw that contrast, we then go into the mitzvah of Yahavta Kamayim Aponim, and then we go immediately into the practical. How do we do it? It's that is the most powerful mitzvah that a Jew has the capacity to fulfill. Okay, next week.